It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, and engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
All right, I'm in. Here I am. Welcome to the show. A little discombobulated here in the studio. I didn't have my online stopwatch, which I use to keep track of how much time I have, because if I don't do that, I will talk a long time. And I do not want to do that, because that's not fair to a one Mr. Scott Connor.
I could just count down.
No, that's good.
I spend the whole show going 30, 29.
No, let Lisa do her thing.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
You're excited. I know you are. Scott is in a very good mood today, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Tuesday was a very, very strong market in a lot of ways. So that's good. That always puts guys like me in a good mood.
Do tell. Well, and you know, clients are happier too.
Yes.
So that's a good, and that keeps you happy.
Yes, absolutely. Dow up 218 points to close at 13,178. So not only did we break through 13,000, we smashed through it on Tuesday's market. That's good. S&P up 25 points, almost up to 1,400. So we're hitting some barriers here.
Some of these psychological thresholds.
Yep. NASDAQ smashed through 3,000, up 56 points to close at 3,034. Gold sold off pretty sharply, down $28 an ounce.
All right. Gold's down. Stocks are up.
Yep. And a lot of that is because of Bernanke, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a minute. Oil virtually flat. Biggest number for me to look at was 10-year treasuries at 212.
You believe that, folks? Everybody's going, I don't know what you're talking about.
10-year treasury yields on the secondary market now are up to 2.12.
So the yield that a person will earn on 10-year treasuries, U.S. government 10-year treasuries, our massive debt, they'll earn a little over 2% on that for 10 years, 2.12.
Right, but the important thing about it is that even just yesterday it was inside of 2%, so that's a massive, massive move. And as you know, when interest rates go up, bond prices come down. We've been foreseeing a treasury bond bubble for some time now. And so what this is telling us is that hopefully money is coming out of the bond market and going back into the stock market, hopefully in a sustainable way.
Or at least less money is going into bonds and now it's being redirected. So you've got two things. You've got money that's already in bonds that may start coming out of bonds and going into the equity side of the equation, into stocks and all the derivations of that. But also new money going into the market, as opposed to, you know, not going into bonds, but going into stocks. And you also have money from bonds going into stocks. So it's kind of doubling up.
So with bond prices down and gold prices down, that tells me that the professional investor, the institutional investor, is seeing more value in the stock market and
more
less
upside
risk.
Potential.
Right.
And less risk?
I think they're seeing less risk.
Or at least enough return for the risk.
Exactly, because we had a decent retail sales number on Tuesday. Said that retail sales numbers were up 1.1% over the previous month. Now, that's in line with what we expected, so it's not terrific news, but it shows that the consumer is still spending. A lot of that was in cars and light trucks and stuff like that.
Well, I've got the report from Reuters here, and I was actually going to ask you about that. So while you're on that topic, Scott, a lot of pent-up demand for cars that we've talked about before. That's being unleashed, that those numbers are starting to really come out. Let's see, we had an increase in motor vehicle sales by 1.5%. A lot more confidence in the economy and the job market. Of course, with the earthquake and the tsunami last year in Japan, a lot of the dealers didn't have the cars people wanted.
Right.
So a lot of that's been replenished.
Yep.
But what's interesting is if you take out auto and gasoline sales, of course, were also up, which was, of course, because of the price. Listen to this. This really surprised me. And you probably knew this, Scott, but this surprised me. Gasoline accounts for 11.5% of retail sales. I did not know that.
Yeah, that's a big number. And when you have as something that is priced as volatilely as gasoline is, it's definitely a number to pay attention to. The other sort of ancillary factors on the February report, we did have an extra day. It was 29 days, right? So there was an extra day for people to spend.
That caused the consumer prices to leap?
Well, no.
Sorry.
No, but it does allow an extra day of spending. And also, unseasonably warm winter in the Northeast is getting people out. They're buying things from Home Depot and Lowe's. And
clothing sales recorded their largest increase since November of 2010, although the retailers had to give some pretty hefty discounts. That's probably the same. That warm weather got them out shopping, and we'll take those winter clothes for a colder day that may come, but you're going to have to give us a big discount.
Yeah, but I think it speaks to consumer sentiment. Also, overseas, before Tuesday's market opened, there was really actually something of a fairly obscure report from Germany about an analyst and investor's sentiment index. It's called the ZEW, the ZEW. And it rose more than expected in March. So that really got things sort of cooking before the markets even opened on Tuesday. We just held that momentum all the way through and really had a very just nice, strong, terrific day. Commentary from the Fed today, or on Tuesday. Chairman Bernanke basically did what everybody thought he would do and said, the economy is expanding moderately. Unemployment is getting better. And we're not raising interest rates anytime soon. He said energy costs will likely push up inflation, but only in the short run. And when they say things like only in the short run,
I don't know if I believe it.
Well, but that's what everybody latches on to, whether we believe it or not.
So it's encouragement.
Yeah, it's encouragement that they don't see inflation starting to run away.
Okay, I'll take that. I mean, but when we say, you know, we talk about inflation, thing to always keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, is when we talk about that, we say inflation. We're talking about just regular inflation, something in the 3-4% range, right? I mean, that's kind of what we're mostly talking about.
Yeah.
You start getting up to 5-6%, that's high inflation. And we've had inflation in the past. You can all think way back in the back of your mind, back in 1980, we had 13.5%.
Yeah, and let's also recognize that there is a big difference between what the Fed says is inflation and what comes out of your wallet as inflation.
And you know, the truth is everybody has their own unique experience with inflation, because depending on how old you are, you're going to, and what you do and where you live, you're going to have a very different set of inflation experience.
Yeah, depending on your consumer habits, your driving habits, I mean, all that kind of stuff. So the Fed view of inflation is not necessarily a completely realistic view, but it is a view that the markets pay attention to.
You know what's interesting about your Treasury number you mentioned earlier, where the yield on the 10-year Treasuries is going up? The Federal Reserve is still doing their operation twist. They still have about $300 billion worth of long-term bonds that they are buying and then turning around and selling short-term bonds. So it's up to 212 on the 10-year Treasury, even though they've got another $300 billion. So that's being suppressed.
Oh, yeah. I think the whole bond market is heavily suppressed by the Fed.
Well, I don't want to suppress our break too long, Lisa, so why don't you want to have one more comment?
Well, I just want to say that the problem with that is that it punishes savers and it rewards borrowers. And I'm not exactly sure that that's the proper incentivization process for what is still a fairly fledgling economic recovery.
Some point the rates need to be allowed to go up.
Yeah, at some point you have to reward savers and punish people who borrow too much. I mean, really, that's what interest rates do, right? They reward savers and punish borrowers if they're at an appropriate level.
Yeah, and a little bit later in the program, we're going to talk about what to do, where to find the best rates for your cash, and lots more to come. Stick around.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
We're back. All right. Hey, we're already getting into conversation, me and Scott over here. And before we get into breaking it down, I've got to talk about it, and I can't believe I've got to do this. Okay? I've got to talk about razor blades. Okay? The Dollar Shave Club is all the rage. They've got
you,
this.
You have been shamed into this.
I have been. You know, and you know what though? I'm a man. I can take it. If I get put in a position where I got to talk about something, well, I'm going to do it. The Dollar Shave Club. You can Google that. They've got, or you go to their website, dollarshaveclub.com. They got this funny video, but they're the only reason I'm talking about it is because it's money, Scott. Okay? It's I don't know. They're privately held, right?
You know, I have a lot to do during the day, and so...
You haven't looked in a Dollar Shave Club?
No.
Well, here's the thing. Their pitch is you can get a dollar a month, you can get your razor blades, and then for $6, you can go with a little bit more of a, you know, a little bit nicer razor blade, and go as high as $9, and they supply your razor blades you need for the month.
Is that...
Every month.
But is that a farce, or is that legitimate?
It's legit. I mean, and think, you know, for a dollar a month, though, I mean, that's probably like cardboard. I mean, or, you know, trying to shave yourself with an axe, but you get into $6 or $9, that's, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll end up finding it's a joke, but it's out there and it's all over the internet. And well, there you go. I had to talk about razor blades, and I swore I would never do that. So I just took away somebody else's job that they talk about razor blades all the time, and I just stole it. So sorry about that.
I think you diminished your skills by doing that.
No, I sharpened them.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Well, get on to some real stuff, Scott. We're going to talk about... I got to also ask you, you know, all quiet on the Greek front.
Yeah, I think we're done talking about Greece for a little while.
Well, then, guess what? Eurozone ministers want to talk about Spain.
Oh, we should talk about Spain.
All right. Well, here's what I saw. Wall Street Journal had a good summary where they looked at the... You know, we talk about the yields on these treasuries, and it looked at this Wall Street Journal article looked at 3-year loans, and it looked at Portugal, Ireland, Italy, Spain, and Portugal's in a whole nother world. They've been hovering in a 14% range yield. Now, again, think about yield, which is what you're going to earn if you buy that versus, and of course, it's always compared to U.S. treasuries because we're considered the safest place in town. U.S. treasuries are a little over 2% yield. Portugal, 14%.
Well, now, and that 2% yield is on a 10-year.
And this is a 3-year.
And this is a 3.
So talk about, and then Ireland, they've done better. They've done some things to improve. They've gone from 8.5 down to 6.6. Italy's gone from 6.7 to 5. And Spain, I'm sorry, let me correct that. Yeah, 6.7 to 5. And Spain, though, is still in the 5.5 range, and I think they're a little bit concerned about Spain.
Well, I think they're very concerned about Spain. You know, they have been there. Here's how bad the disconnect is between what the Europeans are telling Spain to do and what Spain is doing. The Brussels imposed targets that came from Europe said that you have to cut your budget, and you have to cut it by 4.4% of gross domestic product or so. And Spain is saying, well, we can't really do that because part of this assumes growth, but we're shrinking. So the Europeans are saying, grow, 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 grow. The Spanish are saying, we're shrinking. We're sitting on 22% unemployment. 22%.
That's a huge number.
How do you grow? So the Europeans are telling me you have to grow or else. And they're saying...
But you're telling us to have more austerity.
Yeah, I'm shrinking. I get 22% unemployment. How am I going to grow?
I tell you what, I would not want to have to try to turn that around. I mean, I've got some good ideas I'd like to share with our government about how to turn it around and how to grow quicker. My tax strategies I've talked about on the show before. But... I would not want to have to stare down a 22% unemployment rate.
Yeah, and I don't think this bailout process, as difficult as it was for Greece, is even remotely feasible for Spain, because it's just such a, from the sheer mass of the problem is so much more significant than Greece.
Well, they're bigger, aren't they?
They're much, much, much bigger.
I mean, I can flip over and see if I can find my numbers for that, but I know they're quite a bit bigger. Well, speaking of bigger, I'm going to find that data for you, but China... Okay, China's trade deficit. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, it's significantly larger than anyone expected it to be,
They usually run a surplus, right?
They usually run a surplus. Now, there are some sort of numbers behind the numbers. They've been celebrating a holiday that has really sort of screwed up their import-export schedules, so there's some of that going on. But basically, there was a $31.5 billion trade deficit for the month of February. That is a significant trade deficit for any country, but particularly a net exporter.
Okay, so that's a real... So the whole point is that people are concerned that that could portend or could be an indication of where China's going with some of their economic growth.
Well, it is. And, you know, they talk about 8% growth or 7.5% growth or 7% growth. These are big numbers, though. It sounds like a lot of growth, but for a country that's been growing in double digits, for them to drop down to 7 is a huge change. They have to worry about a real estate bubble. They have to worry about currency manipulation. They have to worry about perhaps some changing in interest rate policy. So there's a lot going on in China. And, you know, as much problems as we've had with these little countries in Europe making us nervous, if something goes really bad wrong in China, it's a problem for everybody.
That's a global problem. It's really not that much different than United States having problems.
Yeah.
Well, here's a number I found for you, ladies and gentlemen. I know you were on the edge of your seat waiting for this. Greece economy, GDP, about $320 billion. Spain is four times larger at $1.3 trillion. So that's why it's such a big deal. Now, why, you know, Europe's looking at Spain, why aren't they looking at Portugal? Because they're treasuries, their three-year treasuries, the yields are really high.
Yeah.
Well, they're only 247. They're even smaller than Greece.
Yeah, Spain and Italy are the big fellas that are in trouble.
Well, and Italy's even bigger at $1.7 trillion.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right, we're back. And where are we headed, Lisa?
This is your two-minute warning.
All right, we're going to get to our two-minute warning. Scott, do you have anything else before I let you go?
No, sir.
All right, well, thank you very much, Mr. Scott Connors, CFA, CFP, CHFC, and Master of the Universe.
Thank you.
All right, I am going to do our two-minute warning. It is tax season, and I know you all are out there just rushing to get your tax returns done. I just can't wait to do mine. It's so much fun. But I've talked about this a couple of times. It's really important. Scams spring up during tax season. That's the subject of a great article I found in USA Today. And it had me go back and think through about some of the different ways that these scams can be done. So just want you to have your guard up a little bit on what can occur. And I'm not going to belabor this, but I'll give you a couple of quick things to think about. First of all, the IRS is not going to email you. They always use the regular post office, okay? They're making sure they're using their fellow governmental agency to take care of their business and sending stuff through the mail. Now, the new spin for the scammers is, well, they know that a lot of people use tax preparation software. So now they are going to send you an email, not from the IRS, but now it will come from an online tax service or from a tax preparer that you've hired online or maybe from a tax software. Go to the website, log in to your username password to get into that software and see if there actually is a message for you. Just delete anything you're not expecting. I've gotten emails from people. They say, hey, I sent you an email. You didn't get it. I'll say, I wasn't expecting it from you. It looked a little weird. I'm sorry. Send it to me again. Okay. Fraudulent tax returns. If people, the identity thieves, I call them identity thieves, but identity thieves get their social security number, they can file a tax return in your name and try to get your refund. So be stingy with your Social Security number. I make doctors ask me several times for my Social Security number. I say, why do you need it again? You've got my group ID number for my health plan. You know, be stingy and don't let people know what your Social Security number is. If you do hire a tax preparer, you need to look them up, check them out. Better Business Bureau, BBB.org, I think is a website. You need to get there and check out their background, ask for references. If you've had a good thing to do is ask for other people to give you a reference or make a recommendation. We recommend CPAs all the time to our clients so that they have somebody that we know we've worked with before. And the other thing that's cropped up is this refund scam. And what that is that people, these scammers target the senior citizens or other people they think that they can prey on. And they say, well, you can get this tax credit or something. One of the scams, they call it American Opportunity Tax Credit. And they've been told they can file, even if they haven't filed a tax return, you can file this tax return, we'll get you money back and you pay the fees. And well, then you never get the money and the scammer's long gone before you find out that you're not getting your money. So my recommendation when it comes to getting your tax return done, go to the corner CPA firm that's been there forever. Have them do your taxes. Ask your financial planner for recommendations. And just be careful and delete stuff that comes in the email. And you'll eliminate a lot of the junk. All right, I'm going to take a quick break before we get to our next subject. Stick around.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
The following top secret message is ready for declassification.
All right, we're back. I'm getting a lot in here before we wrap up the show today. Lots of good stuff. Next subject, it's top secret. Top secret. I have to work on my British accent. I tell you what, cash, where to find the best rates. Well, let me break it down. I always talk about this and I'm going to continue to talk about it. You know, you got to have cash money on hand for emergencies. But beyond that, you really need to have your money working as hard as you can. You know, if you've worked hard now or you've worked hard in your lifetime and you've accumulated money, because it's real hard to get it for free. Okay, so you've got it. Now that you've got it, you want to make sure it at least is in a partnership with you where that money's going to work at least like as hard as you do, at least part of the time. So where do you go in a low interest rate environment to make money, to get interest and not fall prey to some of these scams out there that we've talked about? Well, first of all, you got to make sure you've got your emergency fund. Add up all the stuff that can break, insurance deductible, health insurance deductible, copays, all of that stuff, and double check the fine print on your health insurance policy, because you might have to pay copays and you might have to pay a deductible, and then you might have what's called coinsurance, which is you're paying a percentage up to a cap that might be $5,000 or $10,000. What if the roof breaks? What if the AC breaks? What if you lose your job? What if your something changes? Figure out what all that is, and you want to set that aside, and you know what? It needs to be cash. The premium you are paying for having that cash available is what you're not earning in interest. You need that to be in your money market, maybe a high yield checking account. Maybe you get 0.02% or some really small number. They're not charging you to hold it. Okay. And I say that kind of tongue in cheek, because you know what? This is a institution, a bank or credit union that is regulated. They got to pay their bills. They're holding that money for you. So in this interest rate environment, I'm not really kidding. It's good that they're not charging you. And so you have that set aside. After you do that, then you got to look at what you're going to do with your money. Do you have long-term care insurance? Do you got health insurance? Do you have debt? If you've got debt that is, let's say you've got a line of credit or a credit card. Credit card's really the example. Let's say you got a credit card and you've got interest rate of, I don't know, 7%. So a lot of people pay higher, but say it's 7 and you owe $5,000 or $10,000, and you've got $10,000 in your checking account you don't really need because you've got other money for emergency. Pay off the credit card. You've just earned yourself a guaranteed 5-7%, whatever it is you're paying on the credit card. Other debt, line of credit, house mortgage. That's one that people sometimes forget about. I'm making my mortgage payment, David. I don't want to mess that up, and I can't really pay it off. You send the mortgage company extra money. Let's say you've got a 4% mortgage rate, or 5%, or 6%. And you send them that extra money. It's not going to change your mortgage payment unless you have them recalculate or re-amortize the loan. Just go ahead, send them that money. You'll keep paying your interest, but you've just knocked probably a few years off your mortgage. And again, you have guaranteed for the life of that loan that you are going to pay that, you're not going to pay that interest. So it's just like earning that 5 or 6%. So that's a simple way. Now there's other things out there. I-bonds, they basically, right now, I-bonds earn nothing. They don't have their fixed rate is zero, but they're tied to inflation. So maybe you earn about 3%. That's an option, but you're not going to earn more than inflation based on where interest rates are today. What else can you do? You can look at CDs. Average rates are about 1%, 1 to 1.25% on a 5-year CD. You're guaranteed to lose money if you ask me. Savings and money market, that's really just for your cash money. What about investing the money? Well, what's your risk tolerance? Can we go with a conservative income portfolio? That's what I would probably recommend. I'd probably recommend two things for somebody wanting to put a CD that's maturing to work. I would look at a low-risk, conservative income portfolio. We have that. That's what Scott's doing right now while we're doing the radio program, is he's managing that portfolio for my clients. And, you know, we're looking at shorter-term bonds with a mix of different types of bonds, low-quality, medium-quality, high-quality, a lot of short-term bonds, a little bit of medium and longer-term bonds. So that's one option. And then I might look at an annuity and say, okay, let me see what kind of fixed rate I can get with the annuity. Can I get again, we're talking about things that we're trying to protect the money when we look at these options. So I'd look for a fixed annuity, not a variable, and I'd want it to be something that has the potential to give me either a fixed rate or give me a rate that's tied to the market without putting my money at risk. So those are your choices for what to do with your cash. Some of the other things out there, I don't know that they make sense, but that's what I would look at. All right, I'm going to take one more quick break, and I'll be right back. Stay tuned.
80.
30.
50.
Every mile brings us closer.
25.
Every mile in a city near you.
75.
Help us stop diabetes.
100.
Join the Tour de Cure.
60.
Register to ride.
36.
Or sponsor a rider.
50.
Call 1-888-DIABETES or visit us online at diabetes.org/tour. How many miles will you ride?
25.
That's a load of bull.
Oh, it is. I am sad to say, a load of bull. You know, we've talked ad nauseum about Greece and all of their woes, and now we're on to Spain and Portugal and Ireland and Italy and some of these other countries in the European Union and some of their challenges. Well, unfortunately, we have our own Greek tragedy right here in the United States. Article in the Wall Street Journal in the opinion section by economists for Stanford University, two very educated professors there, Boskin and Kogan, or Kogan. And they have a write-up in the Wall Street Journal talking about California. California is in a tough spot. Let's say that, you know, I get beamed up and beamed back down my whole building and I'm working in California, and I would be having serious conversations with my family and friends and clients saying, you know, I'm not so sure that I'm going to stay in California. Listen to this. We already know next year with 2013, depending on what happens with tax law, who wins the election, yada, yada, yada. But there's a real chance that the highest tax bracket on the income tax rate for federal taxes could go to 43%. Now, get this, and this affects small business owners. The state income tax in California, they are the governor, Governor Brown, Jerry Brown, is proposing on the November ballot to raise the state's income tax to 12.3%, making it the nation's highest. That's 55% on your income. If a small business owner, I'm out of there. I'm sorry. This is no longer, it's beautiful in California. I've been there. It's gorgeous. It's like Florida, but without as much humidity. And I've always joked around that if Florida had some of the day, we have occasionally these days that are like California weather, we would be more people here than California. But 55% bracket, and then on top of that, the state income tax, sales tax is 7.25% and is going to go to 7.75% potentially. So And they are trying to do all of this because of massive debt that they have incurred. So I'm running out of time on the show. I had a lot to share with you. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope it's been helpful. I'll talk more about some of the problems that California faces on another show. Thanks for being with me.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.